We're continuing our study in the life of Christ, series of lessons. We've been in Matthew chapter 5 now for several weeks, and we're still there. We're down to the 10th verse. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're studying the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It was a time of excitement, time of joy in the lives of the 12 apostles. You see, it was after Jesus' resurrection. He appeared to them. They didn't realize he was going to be raised from the dead after 3 days, even though he said that the body would not be in stay in the grave. But they had seen him alive for 40 days, and then they watched, as Acts chapter 1 records, they watched as he went back into heaven. Two men in white apparel spoke to them and said, "This same Jesus which is taken from you up into heaven shall so come, have you seen him go into heaven?" A few days later, the day of Pentecost, as Jews are gathered into the city of Jerusalem from all nations of the Mediterranean area, unusual things begin to happen. The Holy Spirit endows the apostles to speak in languages that they'd never studied. Languages that the people heard and understood, though they spoke many different languages. We have the Apostle Peter's sermon recorded in Acts chapter 2. He spoke to those who had crucified and slain the Savior, and he told them so. But he told them that he was but raised from the dead, that he was now at the right hand of the Father. 3,000 souls answered the call to repent and be baptized on that day. And the Lord added daily such as were being saved, Acts 2:47 says. And these continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread, prayer. People were praising God and having favor with the people. Peter and John, two of the apostles, were going to the temple. We're going to talk more about Jesus. On the way, they saw a lame man, and they healed him. Some folks liked that, some folks didn't like that, especially the higher-ups in the Jewish religion, the council, the Sanhedrin. Peter and John are put into prison for causing such a commotion by healing this man and speaking to the people of this Jesus Christ. Sanhedrin is was composed primarily, I understand, of Sadducees that didn't believe in the resurrection. But later in Acts chapter 5, all the apostles were thrown into prison. It's at that time that Peter tells the council, after being told not to preach in the name of Jesus, that we ought to obey God rather than men. This time they were beaten, but again they were let loose. And again, they were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 7, a man by the name of Stephen was speaking to Jewish synagogue. People there couldn't take what he was saying. In fact, the wording there says they were unable to resist the wisdom and the spirit of Stephen. They didn't like what he was saying. This angered them. It says they gnashed on him with their teeth. They threw him outside the city, they stoned him and killed him. One of those there was a man by the name of Saul, who laid the coats at his feet, and he persecuted the church. Persecution came early, sooner than many had expected. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Little did those 12 apostles know, those early Christians know, that on that mountain, on that day, where the multitudes had gathered, the multitudes that had followed Jesus, holding on to his every word, his disciples were before him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. This eighth beatitude, though, represents something a little bit different. He says, blessed are the persecuted. So this is not a characteristic or attitude of the to be possessed by the subjects of the kingdom, but it's what's going to happen if they possess those attitudes. This is the treatment that they will receive if they possess those attitudes. But we might say, you know, the church was young then, just getting started, and the Jews were all up in arms because they saw their whole way of life changing if this young upstart Jesus Christ, this new way, this new sect is to catch on fire. They're the leaders. They must put a stop to it. And they try. So they would naturally be angry. Their way of life, their way of worship is in grave danger. This new kid on the block, Christianity, the way, as it was called, I think, early on. Well, to some extent, I suppose it would be easy to say that they should have expected it. But God's Word speaks numerous times on persecution in the Bible, other than just at the time of the beginning of the church. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul, willing to continue his teaching of the young man Timothy, well, not Timothy here, but these people that he had, the church that he had set up when he had gone through Thessalonica on one of his missionary journeys. God speaks to faithful children who will suffer persecution. He says that no man be moved by these afflictions. You see, they were being persecuted by the Jews way out there in the boonies, so to speak, away from Jerusalem, where maybe 40, 50,000 Christians were living. He says, let no man be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that hereunto were ye appointed. And in the gospel accounts, Jesus agrees with that statement when he tells his apostles, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. In other words, you won't escape. Again, to the apostles in Mark 13, verse 9, Jesus warned, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils they already had here in the early church. In the synagogues, likely in Thessalonica and other places, ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought up before rulers and kings for my sake. Apostle Paul was brought up before a king, wasn't he? It was the Apostle Paul that said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, as he spoke of suffering, and he explained it to some extent, explained persecution of Christians. This is what he said to Timothy, yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, of all people, Paul would know. Paul was being persecuted at the present time, according to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 11. But he also was a ringleader in persecuting Christians, beginning in Acts 8, I guess you'd say beginning in Acts 7, when he condoned stoning of Stephen by allowing them to lie coats right in front of him. So he'd been on both sides of the persecution issue. In fact, Jesus said to Paul on the road to, or Saul on the road to Damascus, before his name later changed to Paul, told him on the road to Damascus, why persecute thou me? Jesus said to Paul. He said, when you're persecuting these Christians, you're persecuting me. You're persecuting their efforts to put my name forward before the people and offer salvation to the people. And when you punish them, you persecute me. Well, we've been persecuted today. I think the church is being persecuted. I think Christ is being persecuted. I think to an extent you could say God is being persecuted, though I think he takes it quite well and can dish out well as he can, you know, take it. A lot of things was being said about God that weren't said years ago in this country. A lot of things are being said about Christ, and more will be said as foreign or other religious groups get in this country that a little bit foreign to our soil and worship someone else or something else that they call God or Allah. Oh, I'm tolerant of other people and their beliefs, but I'm also just as uncompromising as I can be on the fact that there is one God, as Paul boldly stated before the people of Athens. Oh, they had other gods. Paul, aren't you afraid you're going to make somebody mad? Why, they got all these inscriptions, these parts. You're going to step on somebody's toes, Paul. Paul says, that's not the idea. You see that unknown inscription to that unknown God? That's the one I want to talk to you about. And he boldly stood up and preached and taught about it. And not too many people believed him. Not too many people hanged around afterwards, or hung around afterwards to listen to him, but some did, and some believed. But he spoke up for his God. Now, he was persecuted numerous times. He was beaten numerous times because he stood up for his God. Are there times we could stand up for our God and we're not standing up? What does the fact that the church or that some of us are not being persecuted today say? Are we being persecuted today? Why not? When we look at what the Bible says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus said, if you suffer, Peter said in 1 Peter 4:16, I believe it is, if you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. So he assumes suffering of some type. I don't know what the Tennessean would say about my sermons if they tuned in to our broadcast. It's not being broadcast now, but we've got a little old tricky-looking microphone here. Eddie puts it on the website. You can go on there to Woodbine's website, and they'd have my sermon. Well, that'd be great if they put my sermons, plastered them all up, but there'd be a lot of negative stuff said something about some of these lessons. Because we preach one God, one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism, one church. That's not being tolerant. The early church was not tolerant of the Jews. Oh, they were tactful as possible in dealing with those who were sincere. Jesus was. But to those who were hypocritical, he wasn't tolerant. You think they would have placed him on a cross if he got along with everybody? If he went along to get along? Oh, well, let's tweak the church a little bit to be more like other people, and we won't stand out so much and get criticized. A lot of tweaking is going on. But perhaps some in the church not being persecuted or not suffering because we're not living the godly lives that they live. You see, people knew that they were Christians. There was no guesswork. They knew that they were Christians. Thousands and thousands of early Christians in the first centuries were killed, not by the Jews, by the Romans, because of what they believed. Because they continued to teach and to preach. Now, we haven't been told that yet, but the time is coming. The time is coming. We've been told certain places we can't do certain things now. Our freedoms are leaving us one by one. We're not careful. Luke 6:26, something we might want to think about. These words of Jesus. Woe unto you when men, and he's speaking to those who preach and teach primarily, I suppose. Woe unto you when men shall speak well of you. For in the same manner did their fathers to the false prophets. Matthew 5:11 gives further explanation of this persecution that Jesus is talking about. Look at chapter 5:11, Matthew. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So let's look at that a little bit more deeper there. The way persecution manifests itself, people will revile you. People reviled Jesus. They spoke out against him. They were abusive in their speech toward him. They didn't say nice things along the road when he was carrying that cross or after Simon of Cyrene took over. That would keep it up, you know, keep your strength up. That wasn't what they were saying. Spitting at him. The word persecute, among other things, would suggest ill treatment. Ill treatment. And it's not here yet in this country, but I see it getting there. Our morals are like the people in the days of Amos. Read the book of Amos. 9 chapters. Won't take you long to read it. God was fed up with his people back then. And I hope God doesn't get fed up with the church one of these days. But we need to be sure we're teaching our children God's word. And they're sticking to God's word. We need to be sure if at all possible we're teaching our grandchildren. Some of us are older. We have opportunity. Do good to all men. It's doing good to teach. All right, let's move on to a question that we might ask when we're studying this. Why are those who are persecuted called blessed? You know, I can see blessed or merciful, they shall obtain mercy. That's a good thing to aim for, to obtain mercy. But blessed are the persecuted? Well, there are some verses in the Bible that would suggest that there is a blessing in being put through trials in it. I mean, a lot of times we have things happen in life and we wonder, why? Christofferson put it in a song, "Why me, Lord? What have I ever done?" Now, he was doing it in a positive way, but it works both ways. What have we ever done to deserve the good things in life? We could ask that question. But sometimes when things are bad, we wonder, what have I done to deserve this? And yet, going through the fire makes iron stronger, doesn't it? Or steel comes out. If you've ever seen pictures of steel mills up in Pittsburgh, you see all that fire. You ever see the movie Rudy? His folks worked at the steel mills. And all that fire to make that steel strong. Trials will indicate and prove the genuineness of our faith. Luke 21:13, Jesus tells the persecution and trials that his disciples, his apostles, are going to go through. And he follows it with these words. He said, "And it shall turn to you for a testimony." In other words, the way they come out on the other side will influence people for good, because they see how you stood up under these trials that they're now going through. And they speak well of you. Number two, why the persecuted call blessed. Blessed are the persecuted, because Christian character is purged and continuously developed through persecution, through trials. Listen to Romans 5:3-5. We'll just use these verses. "We glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." I have a little bit more patience. I still don't have the patience I need. Janice knows it. You know, I might get by with saying I've got all the patience I need if I didn't have a witness. But don't have all the patience I need. But, you know, as I get older, it seems like I have a little bit more. But, boy, when I was younger, I was very impatient. Very impatient. A lot of us are impatient. Impetuous. Tribulation, working patience, patience, experience, and experience, hope. It all leads to that hope. "Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit, "which is given unto you." Why are the persecuted called blessed? Number three, because persecution is followed by a great reward in heaven. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus says, that's what I'm talking about. He said, "John preached to you about the kingdom of heaven. I preached to you about the gospel of the kingdom. And I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven, and it's yours. It can be yours, but you need to have these attitudes. And with these attitudes that I've enumerated, you're going to have persecution to follow. Because they're going to see that you're not like they are. And it's like having that one little black chick in a bunch of, again, with a lot of white chickens, or a little red chicken in a bunch of white chickens. They'll peck that little red chicken to death. People like what's like, don't they? And we can't be like the world. We be of it, but not like it. Now, Paul talked about to the church at Corinth about these the great contrast between the trials that we're going to have here and the reward we're going to have there. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, why we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary or transient, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the promise for those who live lives like Christ. For those who would seek and would possess those attitudes of heart, not just one of them, not just two of them, not the congregation possessing all of them put together, but each one of us seeking all of them. And seeking to be Christ-like. Paul said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Set your affections on things above. Set your mind on things above, he says. So I trust that we'll go forth today realizing that if there are to be persecutions or trials, and there will be trials, there will be suffering in our lives. We need to believe that we still have that hope of eternal life. We need to believe that ours is the kingdom of heaven. We need to see that reward out there. We need to see heaven. Jesus was not ashamed to tell his apostles in those last days before his crucifixion on the cross that I go to prepare a place for you. He was willing to give them hope. He didn't see it as bribery. He saw it as something for them to look forward to. When in the next few days of that week, they would have some things that they were going to be discouraged about. And they would think that there was nothing to look forward to. This morning, if you're here and not a Christian, why not come to Christ today? If you'd like to study about the church and about Christ and about how to be saved, I'd be willing to talk with you anytime. If you're here today as a Christian and you need to rededicate your life to Christ, or you need our prayers, would you come as we stand and sing the song selected? Shall we stand, please?